How are you guys doing tonight? For real? Doing well? Or is that just eh? Yeah, I kind of feel eh as well. So, I am with you. And in life, there are days and there's weeks and there are months that actually just feel eh. And that's okay. And one of the things that we can do in life when we're feeling eh is include people in it, just like Hannah was saying. So when truly our invitation to you is that when there is something going on in your life, we want to be there to do it with you so that the mundane and the mediocre can be a lot more celebrated and exciting than just eh. Because life is lonely as you get older, as you get farther along in it. Like, having real relationships are so valuable, and they're few and far between, and finding a loyal friend is really hard. And that's what we want to do here, is be loyal friends. I feel like you guys are, like, this side of the room is so far away, and this side is, like, lopsided. So, thank you. Look at that initiative. All of these boys copy. Scoot, scoot, scoot. Thank you. So, in that, this is so dysfunctional. Thank you. Thank you for fixing that. Oh, my goodness. My OCD is kicking in, and it really bugs me that this room is not symmetrical. But it's everywhere. Anyways, which brings me to my title, Dealing with Disappointment. So, I want to talk to you guys tonight about dealing with disappointment. What do we do? How do we respond when we're disappointed in life circumstances, or the people in our life who have disappointed us? When there's a friend, a family member who has said something or done something or didn't do something that they said they were going to do, and it leaves us feeling high and dry, lonely, forgotten, abandoned, or just lied to. How do we handle our disappointment? Where do we go? And I'm sure that if I opened up the mic to any of you, each one of you would be able to name a time or in great detail. Give me an example of a time when you have been hurt or let down by a friend, somebody who didn't fulfill an expectation that you had of them, or you had a hope in something and it didn't come to pass like you envisioned it. And it leaves us with wounds. It leaves us with questions. It leaves us with doubts. That did we really matter to that person? Did they not truly believe in us the way that we thought they did? Was their intentions to hurt us, or were they just good intentions with, you know, lack of follow through? So it's fair to say that people, generally, it's always people who end up hurting us. Yes, life in just its circumstances can get us down. It can, you know, the happenings of life can be disappointing. But generally, it's always associated with people. And disappointment is truly just the result of an unmet expectation that's left us feeling bitter or disillusioned. It can lead us to discouragement and hopelessness. And what I want to talk about tonight is, what is the difference between what the world says to do with our disappointment and what the Bible encourages us to do with our disappointment? And so I want to pray, and then we will get into the Word. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of hope. God, that you are victorious over our loneliness, that you are victorious over our days, our just mediocre days. God, you are victorious over our fears and our doubts and our insecurities. You are victorious over all things, and you have overcome the world, and that strong spirit lives in each one of us, God. And so tonight I pray, Lord, as you deal with the disappointments in our life and the things that have left us feeling high and dry and lonely or discouraged, God, that you would uproot those disappointments, that you would uproot those things that have caused us bitterness or disillusionment, or cause us to not hope anymore, or who have given up on people, God, and who have decided, I'm just going to be strong on my own and not rely on other people. God, I pray that tonight the Comforter would come, and the one who has overcome the world would empower us and strengthen us as a body, and we would learn how to live and how to cope with disappointments in our life, God, knowing that you are the one who overcomes all things, God. Help me to speak accurately. Help me speak effectively, God. And I pray that all the ears in this room who need to hear, God, would be opened and hearts would be soft. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So I have a few things that the world says we should do when we're disappointed. I don't know. Oh, I don't know if we're going to have it or not, but I'll just go with it and we'll see. Sweet. So you can hardly see it, but whatever. I can read it to you guys. So the world says haters are going to hate. It's not like there's another one that says lovers are just going to love you always. Just focuses on the negative. They're just like haters are going to hate. You know, just expect that people are going to be rude. It says, don't expect anything from anyone. Just learn to not expect. So that way you won't be disappointed. Don't depend on others. And literally, I looked these up. I typed in quotes about disappointment on Pinterest. And this is what came up. So all of you getting your wise advice from Pinterest, beware. It is full of weeds. Don't depend on others. The only person you can rely on is yourself. Expectation is the root of all heartache. No one ever gets tired of loving. They just get sick of apologizing, waiting, and getting disappointed. Psh, right? I know. Me too. I was like, this is the worst advice I've ever read. If these posts were my friends, I'd be like, get out. Because who needs advice like this? It's depressing. It says, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm hurt and disappointed, and I'm mad, but I will put on a happy face so no one knows. Life will hurt, but I will keep going. I will get by, I will survive. And there you go. So ridiculous. I couldn't even believe it. And this is what the world tries to get you to do. Yeah, we're Americans, so we're tough, we're individual, we're independent, we're the pioneers, we're the go it our own, be an island, be a rock, I'm my own rock, I'm gonna watch out for number one. That's what we do. In our culture, we do not go and we do not admit our weaknesses, we do not admit our failures or our needs or our pains to each other, because then people could use them against us and we would look stupid and insignificant and not intelligent or smart. And if we, heaven forbid, that we admit that we have emotion or that our feelings get hurt and that we're actually human, right? There's so much fear in that. But this is what the Bible says. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desires fulfilled is a tree of life. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. And his peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. And we know that God works everything together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose for them. You see, disappointment is not meant to define you. It's not meant to define you. It's not meant to hold you back or hold you down. Disappointment is not meant to keep you in bondage or to enslave you to just a discouraged life. And so many times we find people who have been disappointed and that's all they can talk about. Out of their heart, their mouth just speaks over and over and over. People always leave. And these are vows that they make to themselves. I won't get too close because people will hurt me. Eventually, they'll stab me in the back. And we speak these things even over our closest friends and we learn and we begin to mold ourselves or change ourselves to build up walls to protect ourselves from actually loving people with genuine and sincere love, with vulnerability and with transparency. And if we let disappointments in our life take us down that road, it will only lead to hopelessness. Disappointments can hurt and they can leave deep, deep wounds in our heart, but we have to be tenacious about uprooting them so that we know where we can get hope. We know where we can go when we are feeling low. And that hope is in Jesus. And it's taking our eyes off of the perspective of our disappointment, taking our eyes off of those wounds, even though they're painful, and even though you feel validated, even though you could shout it to the world and everybody would be like, you are so right, that person's in the wrong. Would it still make you not feel disappointed? No, you would still feel disappointed, even in this room, if everybody stood up and said, this is what was done to me, and this is what was done to me, and we all said, dude, that person sucks. You'd be like, yeah, it does suck, and I still want to cry about it. And that's all that would make you feel. You would feel a little bit better because you're venting, but then when the moment comes when you were still had to go back to your house, and you were left alone, that disappointment would still be there eating you up. Because it's not just the event that happened. It's a person that you lost. It's a trust that was broken. It was a promise that wasn't kept. It was words that were said to you that repeat over and over in your head. It was things that people had promised to do with you that they went and did with somebody else or that they didn't include you in. And it was that pain of watching, you know, your best friend make a new friend or your boyfriend cheat on you or your parents tear you down and say things that was just like, you might as well have hit me in the face. Those type of pains, those type of disappointments, they sting every single time you think about them. And they don't just go away because you have somebody who's agreeing with you. Vent about it all you want, it won't solve the problem. Complain about it all you want, you won't find healing. Healing and freedom comes when we take our eyes off of our disappointment and when we fix them on Jesus, when we fix them on the hope of eternity and our hope in Jesus Christ, his redemptive work in us and his redemptive work in those people who disappointed. And when we can turn our back against from wanting vengeance and against from wanting just to be right, but for God to actually transform that person and so that we can love that person, this is truly where we find healing. This is truly where we find forgiveness. This is truly where we find solace and peace. So Philippians 1:9 says this, Paul's talking and he's written to so many churches. And look at this. I'll read this first and then I'll tell you my point because it was like mind blowing to me. Just ridiculous. Okay. Philippians 1:9. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters. I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. So he is saying something really significant here. He wants your love to abound more and more and more. He wants your knowledge and your understanding of God's love for you to abound more and more. He wants your love for each other to grow more and more so that it overflows so that you can understand what really matters. And then live pure and blameless lives. How many know that when we are filled with bitterness and disappointment and discouragement, that leads us to just gossiping about somebody else or saying something bad about the person who hurt us? We're not going around saying they're great. Yeah, trust them with your secrets. They'll probably keep them just like they kept mine. Not. We rub their nose in it and we make sure everybody else can smell what they're stepping in. Right? Because we're in pain, because we're hurting. I don't know about you, maybe all of you are so much better than how I feel when I get hurt. But my guess is that not many of us keep it to ourselves. And so Paul, here he is, he's a big church planner, he's leading so many people, so many leaders, so many disciples. And he starts off his letters, and so many of his letters, he starts off by saying, I thank God for you. I thank Jesus every time I pray for you, every time I think of you, I pray for you and I thank Jesus for you. And even though then he goes on to say, by now you guys should be doing this and this, but you still are gossiping and slandering and backbiting each other. And he has character and behavioral issues he has to bring correction to all of his churches, to all of his leaders. He's saying, hey, but this is here where you're blowing it. And he could have instead been like, dude, I'm so disappointed. Hello? I am out here busting my butt. I'm getting beaten up every single day. And all you guys can do is sit around and argue. All you guys can do is sit here and be jealous of each other. He could have thrown the biggest fit ever and just been like, what am I doing this for? Why am I planting all these churches if they can't even get the depth of Jesus' heart? Why they can't even get along with each other? What am I going to do with these people? But instead, he's like, I thank Jesus for you. You guys are my crowning jewel. You guys are my best work. And he praises God because he knows that God's work in those people is more important and more significant than Paul's work in those people. And he knows that even though those people are not perfect yet, he sees beyond their disappointments in a human aspect, the way that they have let him down. Like he was imprisoned. He was in chains. And I bet he had a lot of expectations about people coming and visiting him in prison. And he was like, and if he was a normal human, he'd probably be sitting there and being like, Joey didn't come and visit me. Becky didn't come and visit me. What? I've only been their pastor for 7 years. But hey, it was only my birthday the other day and nobody said anything on Facebook. This is seriously the stuff that we get offended about. Come on. Nobody showed up for us when we thought it was going to be a big deal. And we hold it against people. We can be really petty. And then there are the things that are really serious. The real disappointments that can actually, you know, leave us limping for a while. But we have become really petty about the things that we can become offended about and be disappointed about. But our disappointment should lead us to Jesus. Our disappointment, our pain, our sadness should lead us to the Comforter. It should lead us to the one who will never leave us. Even when people leave, even when people are unfaithful, it should lead us to the one whose faithfulness will never end, whose love endures forever, whose comfort never fails. Our disappointment in other people's shortcomings, words, should lead us to the words of Jesus, to the hope that Jesus can give us. For his words don't ever return void. They always encourage us. They always lift us up. And so when we're finding ourselves in depths of despair, in the depths of discouragement, in the depths of disappointment, disappointment should lead us to the cross. Disappointment should lead us to Jesus. And it should teach us about the frailty of humanity. It should teach us about the brokenness of humanity and how we all are in need of a Savior. And it should lead us to compassion for the people who have hurt us. We don't just go to Jesus for us. In the middle of our discouragement, in the middle of our pain, we take our eyes off of ourselves and we say, Jesus, help me to love that person. Even though they said those things, even though they did those things, help me to love them. Help me to see beyond their failure. Help me to see them like you see them. The things that they're going to accomplish in you. Philippians 1:27 says, above all, this is Paul writing to the same church, and he's telling them how to live godly lives, how to live in amongst each other. And he says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. Have a kingdom mindset is what he's saying. Get a kingdom perspective. Conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Above all, don't forget, above all, you don't belong here. Above all, don't forget, you have citizenship in another place, the better place, that the pain of this world is only temporary. Remember, above all, you are meant to be with me. You are meant to be on my right side. You are meant to be in heaven. You are a citizen of another place. Yes, you're living here, and yes, it's going to be hard. But remember, above all, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't forget, above all, you don't belong here. You were made for better than here. And this is our hope, that we get to go and be with Jesus. And when we're discouraged and when we're feeling hopeless, remember, you're not a citizen of this earth. You're a citizen of heaven. And that should be a lot of hope. That should give us a lot of encouragement. Not that we're alone on this planet, that we can just say, I don't need anybody. I'll just go home and be with Jesus. But that our hope is in his work in us, and the kingdom of heaven is coming down to earth, and it's coming through me, and it's coming through you. And if we can all live like that, how many more people would know the love of Jesus? And how many of us would be encouraged by one another? Because when we come to each other with our discouragements and our disappointments in each other, people responded with love and they took ownership of what they did. My encouragement to you is that if you have somebody even in this room now who's discouraged, who has disappointed you or let you down, that you would be bold enough to not hide it. And that the person that comes and tells you that, that you would respond in a way that's loving. And you would own it. You'd own the things that you said. You'd own the hurtful behavior that you behaved like. You'd apologize. You guys would repent. You'd forgive each other. You'd reconcile. and let go of that disappointment. Hebrews says that we have a high priest who understands us, who knows our weaknesses, and our weaknesses is the fact that we don't know the future. Our weakness is that we can't see what we need. We can't see what's best for us. And so it makes us susceptible to hoping for things that might not happen. And this is why Paul says, I keep praying that your understanding and your knowledge would grow so that you know what really matters. Kingdom living, kingdom thinking, a kingdom perspective. As we grow, we understand that no matter what happens, that God is working for our greater good, that he has something that's a benefit for us, even if it's painful right now. You know, growing and developing muscles is painful. Growing and stretching and all of those things takes effort and time and energy. It's the same in the kingdom. And as we go, you know, all of you guys are so distracted with the little things up here. But what we can hope in is what it says in 2 Corinthians. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vast outweighs them. So we don't look at the troubles that we can now see. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone. Those disappointments, those pains, those words will soon disappear. But the things that we can't see will last forever. And this is it's the promise of being with Jesus. It's the promise of being together with Jesus. It's the promise of eternal life. It's the promise of the hope of glory that lives in you. It's the promise of his spirit empowering you to live on earth like him. So we take our eyes off ourselves. Luke 6:31-33, and a little bit farther, I paraphrase, says this. Treat others the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good for those who do good to you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners do the same. Love your enemies. Love those who disappoint you. Do good unto them without expecting anything in return. Then your reward from heaven will be great, and you'll be acting like true children of the Most High God. This is the hardest part. What we focus on expands. So if we focus on our disappointments, we remain disappointed. If we focus on the things that are discouraged us, we begin to live in just discouragement, and we begin to have just a fatalist attitude about everything. You know, if it's good, if it's going good for a little while, you know, it's bound to get bad sooner or later. And we just kind of tag little negative sayings onto the end of everything instead of living positively, instead of living full of life, instead of believing for the best, and instead of trusting and loving people and letting people know who we really are. We're fearful and we hold everybody at an arm's length. But when we learn to embrace the fact that we might get hurt and live in love like Jesus did, even though it might cost us something, even though it might hurt us, we know that Jesus can heal us. We take our eyes off of ourselves and we begin to love people the way that he did and let people in. We love those who insult us. We begin to love people, and it doesn't mean just become like a doormat for them to walk on. We begin to risk. Hoping that our risk will gain us the reward of his approval and of his praise, and that he will empower us to keep going back and loving those people again and again and again. And this is a powerful type of love. This is exactly how Jesus loved us. If we look even in the pattern of our own life, we can see how we have totally been in with God when things are going good. And when things are going bad, we're like, hey, what are you doing up there? Don't you love me? You were supposed to make this and this. And we can even become disappointed with God. And we can begin to blame him for the things that are going wrong in our life. And we can say, hey, didn't you know that was going to happen? Why didn't you protect me? Why did you let that happen? And we have these huge expectations, and we forget he is working everything for the good of those who love him. And even though your pain is real, and even though it's valid, when we take our eyes off of it and we begin to trust him with a bigger, with a much more enlarged view, with a much more enlarged vision of what he's doing and knowing that he is sovereign and that he's in control, that he has a plan and it's for your good and it's not to harm you, we can begin to relax and we can begin to have peace. Knowing that he sees from the beginning to the end, that he has all the details in between covered. Philippians 2:3-5. Do not be selfish. Do not try to impress people. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Do not look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Your attitude must be the same as Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, and pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. God's telling us, what you focus on expands. So think about things that are excellent, things that are praiseworthy, things that are going to edify your spirit and not drag you down. So how do we handle disappointment? We take our eyes off of ourselves. We put our eyes on Jesus. We forgive the people who have hurt us. And we ask Jesus to help us love them. I have one last verse for you guys, and then I feel like I want to give you guys time to respond. Time for you guys to either get out a journal or sit quietly and reflect just on the disappointments that you've had in your life, and for maybe the first time, be authentic with yourself. Admit that there's real hurt. Admit that there's real disappointment, that there's real pain there that you have not let go of. We remind ourselves that those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. And their strength is really that their hope is in Jesus, that they can hope again, that they can trust again, that they can believe again. And Colossians 3:1 says, since you have been raised in new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think of things of heaven and not of this earth. And going down to verse 12, since God chose you to be holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love, and forgive anyone who offends you. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all in perfect unity. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Discouragement, disappointment, they have a way of stealing our peace. They have a way of stealing our joy. They have a way of getting in there and eroding our faith. But when we clothe ourselves with these things, when we all make room for each other's faults, we clothe ourselves with love, we can hold on to that unity. We can live amongst other people. We can rub and bump elbows with each other and remain in relationship with one another. That person can remain your friend because you know how to reconcile. You don't have to cut them out of your life because they've hurt you. You know how you can go to them and be at peace again. And you know that you serve a God who can rule your heart with peace when you're feeling like the ground underneath you is shaking. So if you guys want to just stand up, I'm going to pray for us and give us just a little bit of time. Maybe we can put on some, I don't know, soft music or something like that and just respond to Jesus and the work that he wants to do. You may be dealing with a disappointment or a pain or a wound that has happened in your life, or maybe it happened a long time ago. Maybe you're disappointed because your parents got divorced. Maybe you're disappointed because your best friend has turned their back on you and is gossiping about you. Maybe you're disappointed because you didn't make a team or you didn't make grade or because you disappointed your parents somehow and you did something that embarrassed them. I don't know what the things are that disappointed you. Maybe somebody told you something that was misleading. They made promises that they didn't fulfill. I think we should just pray for those people that we would have new eyes to see, new understanding, so that we can hope again and trust again and not live wounded. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we hide how we feel or that we even don't speak our truth about it. It just means that we're not going to hold those people obligated to those expectations anymore. We're going to let them go. They already made the mistake. That part is over and done with. We're giving them a fresh chance, a new start, that we won't hold it against against them and that we are going to allow God to heal us. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are bigger than our feelings, that you're bigger than our emotions, God, that we can choose even in the midst of our disappointment, even in the midst of our pain, to focus on your truth. That we can choose to clothe ourselves with tender-hearted mercy, that we can choose to clothe ourselves with humility and to make allowances for each other's faults. God, I pray, Jesus, that we would lift our eyes off of ourselves, that we would lift our eyes off of the things of this earth and the pains of this earth, God, and we would focus on the realities of heaven. God, that your truth and that your sovereignty rules all and is in all, God, that you are victorious over even our pain and even our shortcomings, God, that you are victorious over our disappointments and that you see everything from the beginning to the end, that you know the details of our lives, you know the things that have caused us pain and you are in the midst of them, that you are working all things for our benefit and that we just have to sit back and trust you, Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that you would empower each person here to forgive those people who have disappointed them, who have left them with major hurts and major wounds, and that, God, you would validate those feelings as real emotion, God. When we miss somebody or when we love somebody and they're gone, and we feel that sting, we know that those relationships really mattered. We know that those things really counted in our life. And so, God, I pray that you would fill the void. You would fill the empty spaces of lost relationships, of lost friendships, of friends who have left or turned their back. And you would help us forgive them, God, and help us to see them in the light that you see them. Give us eyes to see the work that you're doing, God, even in the midst of our pain. God, help us to choose to love them. God, for where we are weak, we know that your spirit is strong in us, God. You are alive in us, empowering us to do the things that pleases you, God. Be real with yourself right now. Stop hiding behind jokes and sarcasm. You have a high priest that understands your weakness. You have a high priest who knows the pain that you've experienced. You have a God who understands what it feels like to be abandoned, to be lied about. And he wants to meet you in your weakness. He wants to meet you in your pain. He wants to meet you in those disappointing places and show you that he can be victorious, that he can give you a new hope, that he can restore the things that were lost. So I feel like I have two responses. One, the first one is just that there are people in here who have had people say things, and I feel specifically it's parents. Parents who have said hurtful things, harmful things, negative things, and it's causing just a lot of sadness. And God wants to uproot those things that were spoken over you. Maybe it wasn't spoken by a parent. Maybe it was spoken by a friend. Maybe it was spoken by a teacher. God, whoever spoke those things over us, God, whoever spoke those things into our lives or said things that misled us, Lord, we choose right now and we purpose right now to forgive them. God, we ask that your healing and your truth would sink into our hearts and set us free of those things that were spoken over us. God, that you would speak your truth into our hearts about who we are and our identity in you, God, that you would allow your love to abound more and more in us until it's overflowing, that we would know our true identity in you, God, not identified by the things of this world, not identified by what the world calls us or even by what our parents call us, God, even by our trusted friends or even by teachers who are in authority over us, God, we even rebuke, God, those harmful things that were spoken and we speak life, God, back into our hearts. We ask that you would speak your truth over our hearts right now and speak your truth regarding those situations, regarding those words, God. Uproot them and bring hope. And the second thing is that there are promises even from God, even things that you felt like the Lord was going to do for you that you haven't seen come to pass yet. Things that you were hoping for, things that you were believing for. That didn't happen. That you haven't seen. And you're disappointed by it. God, I pray that we would wait on you. God, that we would wait for your timing. God, that we would trust you. Even in our limited perspective, even in our weakness of not knowing the future, even in our limited knowledge, God, of what we think should happen, Lord, that we would put our trust in you. God, we would put our hope in you, knowing that you know all things, you see all things, and you know how they all should work. God, you have just a masterpiece of like a tapestry woven together where all things fit where they're supposed to go. The right friends that will come, the right job that we're supposed to get, the right definition of who we're supposed to be. Lord, that we would trust in you and that we would hope and we would wait for you. God, I pray against the one who would try to discourage your people, God. I come against the accuser who would try to blame or to cast down their heart or cast down their hopes. Who would whisper lies and try to keep them in hopelessness, God. That you would silence his mouth. Lord, and that your victorious voice would reign over them, that you, the peace of God would rule and reign over their hearts, God. That you would set us free of discouragement, you would set us free of disappointment, and that we would have an eternal perspective, God. One who's rooted in the Comforter, one who's rooted in the Victorious One, one who's rooted in the Faithful One. The one who doesn't disappoint, the one who never leaves us. The one who loves us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.